blood and the red will. That's the only color I see. It's getting to me. Hey, I'm jaded, and I should have saw it coming. Frustrated with this mama loving. Head in the oven, kick in the head. If you ever wanna believe a change and do you better keep yourself together, sit back and let it breathe, let it bleed.
Hey, it's noon here in Portsmouth, and you're listening to WSCALP Portsmouth 106.1 FM Portsmouth Community Radio. Up next, Wine Me Dine Me.
Cook too, on top of the rest. My seafood's the best in the town. Yes, I can cook too. My fish can't be beaten. My sugar's the sweetest around. I'm a man's ideal of a perfect meal, right down to the demi-tasse. I'm a pot of joy for a hungry boy, baby. I'm cooking with gas, so I'm a gumdrop, a sweet lollipop, a brook trout right out of the brook. And what's more, baby, I can cook.
Yeah, she can cook. Yep. She's the man's ideal, the perfect meal, right down to the demi-tasse. Hey, it's Why Me Dine Me. I'm Rachel Forrest, the food writer for the Portsmouth Herald.
And I'm Allie Goodwin, galfoodie.com.
Galfoodie.com. Well, we are our own guests again this week, but we have a lot to talk about. In 2 weeks, we're going to have our special, it is Pledge Week, and we are also going to have our special Restaurant Week show.
Exciting.
We'll get a couple of hunky chefs in here to talk to us about Restaurant Week, which is coming up November 8th through the 15th,
right.
Sunday to Sunday.
In Portsmouth.
Yeah, well, this is now a twice-a-year thing. The first one was in November 2008, 18 restaurants, 3,000 diners. In March 2009, 30 restaurants, 6,000 diners. This fall, 32 restaurants. Let's see. They doubled the dinership. 12,000 diners, maybe? Shall we predict?
We could be the prediction.
So, now, were you here last March?
No, I missed Portsmouth Restaurant Week, but I hit the Southern Maine Restaurant Week. So I went to a few wonderful, wonderful places and had some great meals for a great price.
I know. And what happens is you get three courses, and it's... We're not supposed to talk numbers. $29.95, but I'm going to say that because it is like a whole, you know, package. Some of the restaurants participating this week are Abercrombie & Finch. They've renovated. Annika Jan's right in your neighborhood.
Delish.
Black Trumpet Bistro. Love it. Blue Mermaid Island Grill. Bonta, which is out in Hampton.
Nice.
Brazzo, one of my faves.
Oh.
Cafe Mediterraneo, Cava, which we were at last week.
We like very much.
The Carriage House, Beautiful View, Common Man, The Dolphin Striker, Epic at the Exeter Inn, The Green Monkey. I could go on. Harbor's Edge at the Sheraton Harborside.
Well,
Jumpin' Jays. Yeah, but you can do lunch and dinner
at
some of these. Rerah, Rudy's, Wellington Room. Wow. Massimo's, River House.
Well,
this is crazy.
You know what I like about Restaurant Week is that it gives people the opportunity to go to these really fabulous places where they think they might have to spend, you know, a lot of money to get a great meal. And I think that I ate better during the main Restaurant Week than I normally eat when we go out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was like you get everything, soup to nuts, for you know, a fixed price that you could eat. Technically, you could eat out three or four times in that week at different places. So.
And my philosophy is, at the less expensive price, you have more money for wine.
Right. And we like that. Unfortunately, you and I both like that
a
lot.
Yeah, unfortunately. Speaking of which, I was at a beer dinner last night.
Oh, lucky
you. It was the inaugural beer dinner at the Barley Pub. And that is in Dover. And you beer fans, you all know the Barley Pub because they often have excellent beer. Well, what happened was the owner, Scott Mason, went down into his basement and found all of these vintage cases of Unibrew beer,
right.
Which is brewed has been brewed since the 1990s in Montreal. And I'm going to start to speak French. And he decided to pour us some excellent vintage beer with food from John Popper Medlin, who does sausage and charcuterie through Popper's Sausage Kitchen.
So it was a light meal, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, it actually turned out to be. Because they were doing little portions. And then also the Butler's Pantry, which is in Dover in the Fiddlehead Farms, they did the cheese.
Oh,
but
nice.
What was interesting was I had bacon for dessert.
And why wouldn't you?
That wasn't the most interesting thing. The most interesting thing was all of the beers. I mean, we had the Unibrew 11 from 2002, very rare. They had a rep from Unibrew there who's kept saying, you know, he's never had this beer.
Wow.
And it's really hard to find. We had the Fin de Mon, and we had for dessert the Terrible from 2004. And these are all very interesting beers that they say have been mellowing out with age. There's not as much alcohol sharpness, even though they're pretty high in alcohol content. The Unibrew 11 was 11%, which is pretty high for
That's
a beer.
That's pretty high for a beer. And is beer, so you're the beer expert here.
Well, I mean, I'm learning.
More than I think I could, you know, hold my own with the wine list. But so does beer age the same way as wine? I mean, do they apply the same principles to it or?
Yeah, I mean, it does mellow out. You can't keep it as long as wine.
Right,
some of these were 6 years old, and that's probably pretty much the tops.
Unless it's like mead, in which case you want it the older the better, right?
Yeah, the older the better.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a little bit different. But the food was, Popper did some hams. He did a ham that was ham had been blanketed in hay when it was curing.
Oh.
One was a black cherry wood smoked ham cured. He had all his like weird little pickles. Carrots.
So it was like salty and briny foods to go with
with the beer.
With the beer,
we had a rabbit roulette, so like a rabbit pate with a nice salad. We had little duck croquettes,
my fave,
with a Humboldt Fog.
Wow,
cheese,
beautiful cheese,
yeah. And for dessert, we had a big chunk of pork belly, which is bacon, yeah, with that layer of crispiness and then fat and then the meat. With a blue cheese and dark chocolate.
Wow.
So bacon is pretty much, you can do it, use it for anything.
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pork.
Yeah.
Pork fat. Is that dipped in pork fat?
Yeah, your fat for dessert does not necessarily always have to come from cream and butter.
Right.
It can come from actual meat.
And pancakes. We had pancakes for dessert the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Another non-traditional dessert that was like, why wouldn't you have pancakes for dessert?
Right. And this was at Cava. I can't remember what was in the pancakes.
Well, they were olive oil pancakes.
Yeah, that's right.
And there were sautéed Cortland apples with this wonderful sauce. And then a spiced crème fraîche.
Yeah.
Covered the whole thing. And Rachel and I raced to see who could get the last bite, really.
It was
really, really good.
How's that fork wound I put in your hand?
Healing.
Gah!
It was really good. And it was perfect. It was one of those very non-traditional desserts where pancakes. Okay, well, what is an olive oil pancake? A little bit lighter,
yeah,
I guess.
That's a traditional Italian thing.
Yeah, so it was very, very good.
They do an olive oil cake over at Pêche Bleu.
Mm, yum.
It's very good. Adds a little earthiness to the flavors. So we would judge Chili Festival.
Indeed we did. And happy to report, nobody decided to throw any oysters in the chili. So
yeah.
Woo, that was a close one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was actually a great fun. What a great day. The weather couldn't have been better for eating chili outside.
Right.
The people were, I mean, the tons of people, but it was totally manageable. And all the restaurants, I think, you know, they did a really great job of bringing their chili and serving it up. And should we announce the winner?
Yeah, the winners were
Loco Cocos was our number one choice for their green chili.
Yeah, and very spicy, very complex.
It was very complex.
A lot of different kinds of chilies in it, mm-hmm. which I think layers the flavors a bit.
Yeah, that was the most amazing part of that yeah. chili, was the first bite did not taste at all like the finishing taste. And it was hot. And I'm like white girl spicy. That's what they call me. White girl spicy. I do not do hot. And this was so tolerably hot because it was so layered with flavor.
Yeah.
And
tomatillo.
All kinds, like poblanos and tomatillos. Right. And, you know, just everything. And maybe the best part of it, the additional layers came in the form of roasted corn.
Right.
As a topping, sour cream, cheese.
That's right.
All the usual suspects. Yeah, they did a great job. And let's see, Wings My Way came in as our second place winner.
Yeah.
That was a sweet, meaty,
more traditional.
More traditional.
Yeah, we liked that because it was more traditional. They also had that big, scary chicken.
They had the big chicken. And
walking around in a costume.
That was pretty entertaining, if nothing else. And I think they won best booth because they brought their own chicken.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the Old Page for our third more
traditional. The Old Salt.
I'm sorry. Yeah. The Old Salt.
Whoa. The Old Page.
The Old Page. Down there to the Old Page. The Old Salt. For another more traditional, but
slightly sweet.
Sweeter yeah. chili. Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the people said. That's what the judges said. The people, they always
go for the... I was surprised.
I was too.
I was a little surprised.
They did choose the Old Salt as number
yes.
three.
Yep.
So in that we were in agreement.
Right.
But number one was the Wentworth by the Sea, which, you know, a restaurant I love.
And I wonder why. And not, well, you know, not. Well, I wonder what the people, you know,
what were the people think? What was appealing? The Wentworth one had the roasted pepper.
Yeah, the roasted red pepper,
sour cream mm-hmm. that you put in it, swirled in it. So there was a bit of presentation. Yep. And
it was very pretty.
Yeah.
Had a white Zinfandel reduction with the roasted red pepper, sour cream topping.
Yeah.
And it was sirloin, shredded sirloin.
Right. So maybe it was the sweet talking that got to people.
Yeah, and it was pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, the presentation was very Wentworth.
Right.
And rightly so. I mean, they start to finish, they pulled it off. So,
right.
You know, that's great. Great. Yay, Wentworth for yeah. People's Choice.
Their number two was...
I don't remember.
I think it was Riverhouse.
Oh, and Riverhouse was the chicken chili. That was totally different than any of the other chilies. Right?
No, that was... yeah, we're good.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me pull out my notes here.
That was... Red Hook.
Red Hook was the chicken chili.
Yeah.
Oh, I have my notes here.
But it was a good different venue that was went from Prescott Park to Strawberry Bank.
Oh, the River House had their they made it with Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Yeah, that was yeah.
And had bacon fat crackle.
Oh, bacon.
And
see?
That's why.
Bacon. Oh, yes. Yes, we had an argument about the smokiness.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
Keith Lemmeries.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it an argument. It was is the smoky the bacon or is that the, you know, so we kind of went back and forth. I tasted it, but I'm going to kind of side with Keith and say I didn't really taste bacon.
Yeah.
I got the smoke.
And I was getting the bacon on the back end
yeah.
as the after flavor.
Mm-hmm. And I could taste the Sam. I mean, yeah. You definitely got the Sam flavor. So, yes, there were so many variations on a theme here, just reading over my notes, but I would say, the green chili from Loco Cocos, I mean, there were tomatillos, jalapenos, serranos, poblanos, I mean, you name it, they threw it in there, so nice job.
Yeah.
Nice job, and it was a beautiful day, and it was really wonderful that I only heard good things about Prescott Park moving that venue to Strawberry Bank.
Yeah, and it was good. They combined it with that fall festival mm-hmm. with the Strawberry Bank Museum, and mm-hmm. also they could have beer.
Yeah, and the Red Hook
from
Brewery
Red Hook.
Was there, and... Yeah. And that's people, you know, what's better than beer with chili, you know, on a crisp fall day
right
outside. So it was really nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was really nice. And they didn't run out of chili until, you know, starting around 2 o'clock. So for next year, everyone, if it started at 11:30, that's a good amount of chili. So don't think you're going to miss out if you don't show up first thing. Yeah, there were a lot.
Yeah.
Unless
we don't want
to
create
stuff.
A panic.
Yeah.
But people do. They line up for half an hour beforehand.
Yeah, there were a lot of people waiting at that rope.
Yeah.
It was kind of scary being the judge on the inside of the corral, and they said, yeah. 3, 2, 1, chili, and they all came running at us.
Like, our clipboards were flying.
That's right.
Chili. Oh, yeah, we get to butt in line.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Do you have samples for the judges?
Just a little, please.
Hey, you're listening to Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCA LP. This is Why Me Dine Me, and I just want to say that the Seacoast Wind Ensemble will present Halloween Treats, a concert for the whole family, on Saturday, October 31st from 7 to 8 p.m. at Exeter Town Hall, 7 Front Street in Exeter. Scary tunes will include music from The Nightmare Before Christmas, E.T., Harry Potter, and Psycho. Tickets are free for children, and a $5 donation is suggested for adults. Children in costume receive special treats. Please bring a non-perishable food item to support the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank in Exeter. Seacoast Wind Ensemble is a 50-piece, all-volunteer community concert band dedicated to providing excellence in music, performance, and education. Members range from talented students to adults of all ages and all walks of life. SeacoastWindEnsemble.org has the contact information.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's Why Me Dine Me. It's Wednesday. It's every other Wednesday.
It's every other Wednesday with Rachel Forrest.
It's the every and the
Allie
every
Goodwin.
Other. I just wanted to talk about a little bit about a dinner that I went to on Sunday night.
Yeah, this is really interesting, actually.
In the endless fabulous life
of a foodie.
It's the Raft Dinner, renewing America's food traditions. I talked a little bit about the Ark,
right.
Which we had vegetables boarding the Ark.
People are going to have to start taking notes. The Ark, the Raft.
Yeah,
the, you know,
it's all a theme. So the Raft was a very. It's through Chefs Collaborative, and it was a very interesting project. At the beginning, at the end of the spring last year, there was a big meeting at Black Trumpet Bistro, and there these heritage seeds,
like heirloom.
Yeah, pumpkin and beans mm-hmm. and tomatoes, the trophy tomato and a lot of different heirloom seeds were given out to farmers in the area. And as farmers do, they took these seeds and they went and they packed to their farms. You can't see me on my hand. My fingers are moving as if they were going back to their farms. And they planted the seeds. And the result was the fruits of their labor,
right,
and vegetables of their labor, which they gave to a group of chefs,
nice,
who cooked this fantastic dinner out at Meadows Mirth Farm, out in Stratham,
mm-hmm.
and it was they cleared out their barn. They had a table that held 80 people, the entire length of the barn, glittering little lights.
That's so nice.
You look out, and there's the panorama of the forest behind, with the leaves just changing, the sun is just setting, the farmland
so
is out there.
Martha Stewart was hiding behind a bush.
Yeah, it was really Martha. It was mostly Martha.
That's great.
And so these chefs cooked up some great, great stuff. We had a turnip and squash soup.
Oh, yum.
It was amazing. With beets, like beet juice drizzled on top. We had nice slices of pork.
Mm.
With a salad, with some pickled peppers, and the red beans.
Wow.
And a beautiful apple dessert. We also had a beautiful apple dessert with, yeah, sort of like the cava one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a crisp.
Sautéed, crispy.
Yeah. Of course, local wines.
Right.
And some Smutty Nose beer.
We've been talking about doing this at our farm.
Yeah.
Actually, because we have this incredible barn and we have incredible gardens.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful venue with the fog at night, you know, the setting. And
yeah.
I can see it.
Well, one thing we were scheming up at this barley pub dinner, I was sitting with a gentleman who is partners with Popper Medlin, who has a farm. He's raising cattle and pigs, and he's going to be supplying that to Popper. But we were talking about having Carnapalooza.
We just
or
sit around and eat meat-a-roo.
Yeah. Because, you know, we talk about, you know, the grass fed and corn fed, and we had a big lively discussion about, you know, what we're eating, mm-hmm. and how food is being raised. And so we're scheming up this idea to have a whole dinner where we're kind of going to be comparing different kinds of meat, mm-hmm. you know, sort of a blind tasting.
And if anybody's ever had
meat fest,
you know, cows that were grass fed on a private farm, we used to do that. We would buy a portion of a cow and watch it grow over the summer, and then it would arrive in a cooler, you know, at my house, freshly wrapped and marked and ready for the freezer.
With a name.
And you don't name
your food.
No. So this meat would arrive, and, you know, I did this for probably 5 years. This was out in Seattle, a little gentleman's farm that a friend of mine owned. And every year you could guarantee the flavor of the meat based on the amount of rain.
Oh,
you know, and how fast the grass turned from green to brown in the summer. And the faster the grass turned brown, the gamier the beef tasted in the fall. And there was one summer where I almost couldn't eat it. It was so gamey. It was so gamey. You had to just marinate everything in, like, you know, Worcestershire sauce just to kill the gamey. But on the rainier, in the rainier seasons and the rainier summers, we had some really beautiful beef come out of that. And that was really my first experience over the long term of being able to compare. Because when you eat meat out of a grocery store, you don't taste it.
You really don't taste it.
So that would be an interesting experiment to do.
And they feed their pigs Stonyfield Farm yogurt.
For their Activia probiotic digestion.
They work with local farms to get fruits and vegetables, and they let their pigs graze on acorns that have fallen off of the oak trees.
Wow. A little fiber.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, I mean, that's great.
Does it taste oaky? Does it come out smoked? Well, smell like maple smoke?
Acorn-fed pigs are very popular in Italy, and they taste really good.
Hmm.
Just a segue or a diversion or a digression. Stonyfield Farms brings to mind that on Sunday, at 4 p.m., you can see Food Inc. You can also see it 10:30 on Friday through the New Hampshire Film Festival. Go to newhampshirefilmfestival.com, nhfilmfestival.com. But on Sunday, be a showing with a special panel afterwards. Actually, not a panel, just me and Gary Hirschberg from Stonyfield Farm, who's in the film, and talking about his experiences with Walmart, which is an interesting topic. And if you didn't get a chance to see the film a few weeks ago, this is a good opportunity to actually talk to somebody and ask a question of somebody who's in the film.
I will probably be there.
Yeah.
Because I missed the first one because you were somewhere and I was somewhere and we met at the end.
Yeah, that's
I don't remember exactly where I was now, but.
So yeah, go to nhfilmfestival.com and see if you can get a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you get them probably, is it through the music hall as well?
No. I think you just go to their website.
Just go to the website. Okay.
Yeah. Support for programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by our members and by Heron Pond Farm, building community through local agriculture from our fields to your table. More information on CSA memberships at heronpondfarm.com or 603-591-8720. And programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by our members and by Terracotta Pasta, makers of fresh gourmet pasta, ravioli, and sauces. Located just south of the Kittery Traffic Circle at 52A Route 1, Kittery, Maine. More information at 207-475-3025.
Cool.
There you go.
Cool. Nice plug.
That's not a plug. That's a sponsorship.
That's a sponsorship, which we like. And if you're a business and you'd like to consider sponsoring our show, you can contact the Portsmouth Community Radio Station.
And our pledge drive begins October 23rd.
That's right. And if you also want to support prior to the pledge drive, you can go to portsmouthcommunityradio.org and become a member.
I have a little bit of restaurant gossip.
Ooh.
Well, it's not gossip. It's actual truth.
Is it a scoop?
Maybe some people have noticed that Bella Luna restaurant at Market Street has the old butcher paper up in the windows. You know what that means?
It means
something's afoot.
Something's afoot at the Bella Luna.
Well, what's afoot there is that Bella Luna was sold and to
one of the waiters,
Brian Pearson, and he will reopen as Bella Sol.
Oh,
so beautiful moon
sunny
equals beautiful sun, and I was told that it's going to be. They're going to renovate inside, make it look a little bit different, but you'll see familiar faces for you Bella Luna fans and similar menu with some changes, but
good. I like Bella Luna.
Yeah.
It's a really romantic place. So congratulations, Brian.
Congrats.
That's exciting. Having been a former restaurant owners ourselves, we can only wish you the best of luck. It'll be really...
Insert evil laugh here.
It's character building.
It's a dream come true, Brian.
That's right.
And some of you might remember that Biddy's in Dover closed. And that also was sold to an employee.
Oh.
And it will reopen as Fury's.
Oh.
Shortly. They think maybe even at the end of the week. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's exciting.
They'll still have music. They're going to have some good pub fare. And it's going to be fun.
I don't spend enough time in Dover. I need to go there.
Yeah, I was there last night.
Yes, drinking nice beers.
Then went over to the Orchard Street Chop Shop for $5 martinis.
Nice.
Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Sorry.
Just martinis. Just some martinis.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a busy week for us foodie gals all over the place. And this weekend
let's talk
busier.
About that. Yeah.
Harvest Fest is this weekend.
Right.
So starting Friday through Sunday in York Village in York, Maine, Harvest Fest will be happening. And Saturday is the big food day. That's the day I'll be there.
The ox day.
The ox and the beanhole beans day, which we start soaking the beans tomorrow.
Yeah.
All 40 some odd pounds that I have. So
40 pounds of beans.
40 pounds of beans. Jacob's cattle beans. I practiced.
Bean soaking?
I didn't actually soak them, but I did make some homemade baked beans this beginning of this week.
And did they turn out okay?
Oh, they're amazing. They're just
amazing. Yeah, I saw that up
you
on your blog.
It? Yeah, yeah.
Thanks to Facebook, I have a view into your world.
That's right. My cheater baked beans in a crock pot. But yeah, I mean, if you've got 12 hours of time on your hands with the crock pot, you know, basically throw it all in, close the door, and come back the next day.
Have you ever baked a cake in a crock pot?
You know, that sounds so 1970s to me that I just don't know if I could go there. But I mean, it'd be a nice challenge.
Somebody posted that. Up on, I believe it was Facebook, and I was like, I had never heard of that.
Pineapple upside down cake is one that a lot of people do in a crock pot because you really
it's just
can.
Just one layer.
Well, yeah, it's one layer, and it actually, this is all I've heard by baking things in a crock pot. Whatever you put on the top when you're baking sinks to the bottom. It like goes in reverse.
Oh.
Like if you do, I think there's another, like a cherry kind of cake that you can make, and you put everything in. The cherries are floating on the top when they start. And by the time it's done, they've sunk and the dough has risen to the top. So it just kind of goes in reverse. It's kind of an interesting crock pot phenomenon. But I love this time of year. I love my crock pot. Like it's like set it and forget it, you know?
Yeah. Wasn't that the tagline for like,
I think your hair products or something.
Set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it.
Yeah. But just walk outside with your curlers in your hair
and go
to the supermarket.
That's right.
We actually saw, this is nothing to do with food, but we saw a woman at the supermarket with curlers in her hair.
Sweet.
I have not seen that for decades.
Was it at the Demoulas?
No, it was at the Hannaford or the Pick and Pays.
Oh, the Pick and Pays.
To use the old
term. Yes.
And after she left, the cashier and I looked at each other. It was like, I haven't seen that. She's like, I know. I haven't seen that for years.
That's a bold move.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're still thinking, I'm going to go over to the Pick and Pay. At Pick and Pay, I would expect to see that.
I was like, aren't we good enough to look good for?
Well.
The general public?
She could have been getting married like at 4 o'clock that afternoon and
that's
she didn't have
true.
A choice.
That's
you know?
True.
She could have just been.
She had to get a bottle of wine before her wedding. Let's invent a whole story for her.
Exactly.
Oh, I've got to get this wine. I'm getting married.
Getting married at 4.
I don't care what I'm wearing.
This is it.
This is it until it's over.
That's right. I know nothing. Yeah, so it has been a busy week. And this, don't you have a dairy tasting competition or something going on
soon? Yeah,
here's
what happened. This is going to be big because it's the first one. Hood Dairy is sponsoring a cook-off, and there are 30 finalists. Each New England state has five categories. And so the finals are on November 1st. And good news, because I was worried about the...
You were a little concerned about your social calendar getting all bunged up.
The Portsmouth Halloween Parade,
yes,
is the night before. And they wanted me to, you know, they were like, do you need a hotel room the night before? And I'm thinking, oh, no, I got to go to the parade. But I got a phone call that said, I really don't have to be there till about 3 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Great. So you can go to the parade, sleep it off, and get there by three.
Sleep it off.
Because you know that we're having fun at the Halloween parade.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
And then go to this competition. I believe Billy Costa is hosting, and there's,
wow,
Steve Corey from 555 up there as a judge. So that'll be fun. I'll be in Portland, and it'll be really fun to,
yeah,
see an actual cook-off like that.
And was it Bon Appetit or Food and Wine that voted Portland as the best small food city this past, I don't know.
We all know it's Portsmouth.
But I know. Well, it's only because only because Gourmet scooped it before Food and Wine could.
Speaking of which,
how
sad is it that Gourmet magazine is no more?
And we even gave them a plug. I mean, that should have just increased
their
subscription rate by like 50%.
Well, I don't know if you've been in the blogosphere reading people's comments, but yeah, there are a lot of comments about what a dinosaur Gourmet magazine was and how it wasn't keeping up with the internet times. And
well, I had actually stopped getting it because I was getting Bon Appetit and Food and Wine. I mean, how many food magazines can you get?
Cooks Illustrated.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I stopped getting Gourmet because it was probably one of the more expensive of them.
Right.
And then about 6 months ago, I just happened to see one and it had something in it that I was really interested in. And I picked it up and I was like, you know, I should be getting this again. And then just recently, the same week, within like 24 hours of them saying we're done, I get my subscription renewal notice in the mail and they want my $30. And I'm thinking,
you don't
my,
get 30 my 30
bucks goes into the ether, I think.
Yeah.
I was kind of mad. And then I figured they were going to send me about 15 more subscription renewal notices reminding me that my subscription was about to expire. And for every one of those, that's 50 cents, basically paper and postage. And
no wonder they went out of business.
Yeah, seriously. I'm thinking, who's paying for that?
Yeah. Well, that's a shame. I liked it. I didn't think it was that much of a dinosaur. I thought they had responsible food writing about food politics and social issues and...
Yeah.
You know, now I'll never get an article in Gourmet magazine.
We'll just have to start our own.
Yeah. Ours would not be quite so highfalutin.
We'll call it something. Well, I won't.
So you think you're a gourmet. So you think you're a gourmet? I don't know how you could write the inflection.
Right, right. You use scripty font.
What is a gourmet
scripty
anyway?
Font.
I like, you know, when you ever, I don't know if you've ever done any online dating, but I always like when there's in the description is like, I like gourmet cooking, and I'm like, I don't never really know what that means. What's gourmet cooking? Does that mean
hoity-toity recipes that call for things like goose liver and things you can't just get at the market basket? Although maybe you could get goose liver at the market basket.
You might be able to, but
yeah, get a lot of things there that you didn't think you could.
But I think that term is probably pretty much and you know, archaic.
And I think, you know, just saying that you enjoy cooking and sharing food with others.
Yeah, I like that. That's much better.
That's much better.
So
that's approachable.
For you dudes out there who are trying to play the foodie card.
Right.
With us foodie chicks online, just say you enjoy cooking and sharing the food with friends.
And that you don't mind also doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Right? And you know what side of the plate the fork goes on. It's all
is that all we are asking? Is that all our requirements are?
At this point we don't really need to go there. But it would be nice to see more of the I would love to cook for you.
Yeah.
And do the dishes while you sit with your feet up and finish off the bottle of wine that I opened for you.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Now we're really going off. But if a guy can cook, oh, that's great. And cooking together is just, I'm always looking for someone I can cook with.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that you say that because obviously I love to cook. But I think that I have a hard time sharing the kitchen.
Oh, see, I like that.
I mean, I love it. I love it. And I think I would love it, you know, if somebody really wanted to get their hands dirty. But there's definitely a challenge there for me. I'm a little bit of a control freak.
Okay.
I'll just throw
it out
there.
Territorial. Mm. Okay. So we know that about you.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
At least you know that about yourself.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. And I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with it.
I swear,
I'm fine with it.
I'm fine.
You have a problem with that?
My therapist says I should be fine with it.
You have a problem with that?
Hey, you're listening to Why Me Dye Me, and it's Portsmouth Community Radio, 106.1 FM. And I'm Rachel Forrest, the food writer from the Portsmouth Herald.
And I'm Gal Foodie, Allie Goodwin from galfoodie.com.
Allie Goodwin. Allie G.
Allie G. Yo, yo.
So what are you making? You're making a lot of soups lately.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually experimenting with a lot of the gourd root vegetable family.
Gourd.
Gourd. I love that word. Gourd. I just had a gourd picking party at the farm the other day. I actually made this really, really delicious roasted butternut squash soup. And, you know, soups are funny. I've kind of been, you know, you follow along in the food blogs and the Facebook comments and all these things. And people are like, you know, soups, you put so much work into them and then they're never as good as you want them to be. Or, you know,
yeah.
I don't mess with hard to make soups. If it's not like fast and I can't eat it within the same time frame I've cooked it, then mm-hmm. I don't want to try. But one of the easiest soups that I make is a roasted butternut squash. So you basically just cut the butternut squash in half. This particular time, I threw on some butter, chili powder. That was really nice.
Chili powder,
brown sugar, cinnamon, nutmeg, a little allspice, salt and pepper. Throw it in the oven for like an hour, basically till it's scoopable, soft. Scoop it into a blender with chicken stock. And a little more cinnamon and a little half and half, blender it up, you know, on the puree setting.
Yeah.
And then, oh no, actually, before you throw it into the blender, I actually cook garlic and some more spices in the chicken broth.
In the broth.
Then I add the squash to it, cook it some more, and then I blend the whole thing up.
Yeah.
So it is a process, but it's actually super easy. Like, if you go to galfoodie.com, you'll see the actual recipe. And then another wonderful thing that I made. When I do these on galfoodie.com, I sometimes like to add these little variations on a theme.
Yeah.
So my variation on this theme is the next time I throw the butternut squash into the oven to roast, I'm just going to cut a couple of apples in half.
Nice.
Throw those on the sheet pan with some cinnamon and brown sugar. Let those roast with, and then add those to the soup.
To the soup.
So it gets
as
a little
chunks.
I'll probably puree it up. Yep. So it's although chunks on top, it could be a topping. A little garnish. But I think it, you know, with the chili powder, it gave it a really nice little smoky layer. The really great thing about this, when you add all the flavors in, you do get layers of taste. And the chili powder definitely came through. The apple will add just a little sweetness to that. And then this week I had a brunch at my house with some visiting family, and I wasn't really prepared to be making brunch. We decided at like 9 o'clock the night before that they would all come to my house for breakfast.
Surprise.
So I'm like, surprise, what do I have in my pantry? Well, I had, you know, a whole mess of sweet potatoes that I had picked up at the farmer's market, and some frozen al fresco apple sausage, sweet apple chicken sausage. So I made a couple of quiches, and then I diced up the sweet potato, onion, a little red pepper, and the apple sausage, and made hash out of
good.
It. And it was so easy. And everybody went, oh my gosh, how did you make this? I'm like, but you know, it took all of, you know, 10 minutes to whip this thing up. And it's such a nice, that could be a side dish for a chicken dinner.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, it was perfect with quiche for breakfast. And I had the baked beans, leftover baked beans on the side with the quiche. And so go to galfoodie.com and you'll see both recipes popping up there shortly.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That URL again was www.galfoodie.com.
That's right. Become a fan on Facebook.
Yeah.
Twitter me. Galfoodie, Twitter me.
I was trying to Twitter my bacon dessert, but the photograph didn't turn out.
It's really fun. We were actually having a really good time with that this weekend. We were out dining and we were Twittering our pictures as we were taking them.
Yeah.
And there was this really nice couple sitting next to us, kind of watching what we were doing. And you were like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm Twittering you. What are you doing? And they were just like, what are these two girls doing? And you know, that's technology. That's the beauty of Twitter and Facebook and iPhones.
Yeah. I try to, I know aesthetically I have, I mean, it's a dilemma for me because aesthetically I don't like to see people texting in restaurants.
Right. I have that no texting at the dinner table rule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, my daughter has that too. And so, but you know, I like to take photos and put them on Twitter. Yeah.
It's for work.
So maybe I'll just go to, yeah. I mean, the whole taking the photos thing. If you go to a restaurant, like any fine dining restaurant, like Alinea in Chicago, it's a very odd restaurant with a lot of avant-garde food that's presented in a very unusual way. And, so you'll get people doing the food
pictures all the time.
Yeah. And, I was asking the chefs at Arrow's restaurant about that, and they said they didn't, it was kind of intrusive. So
really,
but what are you going to do?
Right. Right. Well, actually, you could think of it too as a really great compliment. Like, wow, the food is so presented so well, and it's so beautiful that people want to remember.
Yeah.
Remember it before they, you know, eat it.
Well, I know when I go on trips, I tend not to take a lot of pictures because I'm enjoying myself. I don't like to stop. I used to go out with this guy who, we traveled together a little bit, and he was like an achievement person. Like he wanted to go to every single country in the world, you know, that kind
he
of
had
thing.
Goals.
Yeah. But it was more like a checklist. And so we would go to a really important cathedral, and all he would want is his photograph taken in front of the cathedral. So he could say he was there. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm like, well, why can't we go into the cathedral? You know, let's go in and enjoy it and learn something.
It took us 48 hours on a
going.
Camel to get here. Can we please go in and use the bathroom at least? Right.
Yeah. He also did not like, was not into food.
Oh, unfortunate for him.
Yeah, it was just fuel. So needless to say, that didn't last
long. That didn't last long, did it? Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's definitely fall, and it's definitely fall food time.
Yeah, it's stew time for me. It's I've already made my first goulash of the season.
You made your goulash. You posted up your goulash findings.
Yeah.
It sounded really, really good.
Yeah, well, I worked in a Hungarian restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, which is one of the few areas in the country that has a high population of Hungarian people. Another is in Florida, and one is in Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
And so I worked in this Hungarian restaurant, and I learned how to make, I mean, I was waitstaff, but I learned how to make just about every dish he made.
Wow.
And one of them was his Transylvanian goulash, which is cubed pork, dredged in flour. You fry up the long green peppers, banana peppers, mm-hmm. and onions with garlic and a lot of dill and sweet paprika. And then brown the pork, and then you just put in sauerkraut and chicken stock. I mix the chicken and beef stock, and then sour cream.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, so you get this kind of, you know, the kind of tang from the sauerkraut, but you're getting sweetness from the sour cream and from the paprika.
Nice.
And then you make nuckedli, which is spätzle.
Right.
Yeah, little dumplings.
Little dumplings.
And
so
I have
that with the sauce and all the yummy.
Four different kinds of spätzle making machines.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of spätzle.
Yeah. I went crazy. I was just like, I have to figure out what the best one is going to be. There's one that sits on top of the pot and you move it across back and forth.
I need to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
There's one that you just turn in a circle.
Hmm.
And there's one that you crank. It looks kind of like a meat grinder, and it the noodles, the dough drops into the water.
I'll be starting the pasta making soon.
That,
the fresh pasta making, which is one of my favorite.
I haven't
things.
Done that for a long time.
Yeah. I treated myself to the complete ensemble of pasta attachments for my KitchenAid.
Really?
My Big Bertha.
So what do you have? You have ravioli maker?
Ravioli, the fettuccine, the spaghetti, lasagna, I guess
right.
it's kind of like the same as the ravioli.
Yeah.
And then I actually, until I was blessed with the ability to get the attachments, always did hand cut pasta. I learned how to make pasta from John Rossi, who was the founder of Rossi Pasta.
Right.
And so, you know, he's like, well, we would just hand cut it. I mean, that's what you do. You roll it out and it gets you this thickness. And, you know, so I make my own lasagna noodles, which I love because I don't like just plain old boring white pasta lasagna noodles. I like spinach lasagna noodles and, you know, roasted tomato. You know, I like to mix it up. And that's actually where Rossi Pasta, where he actually ended up taking, you know, his product was making, you know, 60 some odd different flavors of pasta, you know, from squid ink to, I mean, just really cool. Some really cool variations on that. So that's what I'm pretty soon. I'm not quite there yet. Like, it's not cold enough to be, you know, stocking up on pasta, but definitely more soups on my horizon and
roasts. I did roast beef the other day.
I did roast pork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roast pork with beets, stewed beets and yeah.
Oh, it's so interesting. I mean, we had the summer salads, you know, the fruit salads for the summer, the short week we had the heat.
Right.
and now we're doing our comfort food.
And chowder, too, fish chowder.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of working on that and hauling the last of the lobsters. So that's been, you know, what can I do with the last of the lobsters? It's not a lobster roll. So now we're on to, like, seafood Newberg, you know, lobster Newbergs and the lobster pies and cold weather food. Which is counterintuitive to my new eating plan of no dairy, no, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's
no,
right.
No flour, no, none of that. But you can't help it. Who doesn't love a good lobster Newberg?
I know.
I mean, how can you not want that?
Delicious.
Exactly. Oh, you know, we should mention, too, at the Chili Fest, we were handed the new brunch menu for River House.
Oh, yeah.
Because speaking of Newbergs and Hollandaise sauces and things of that nature.
They've got some Bennies.
Yeah. The River House starts this Sunday with a brand new brunch menu from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the thing that we were gravitated towards the most were the Benedicts.
Indeed. Because they have one dish that has three different Bennies.
Yes. They have. It's called the Three Bridges, interestingly enough. And it's a gigantic offering of three halves, one Benedict, one Piscataqua, and one Mignon. And I'll explain to you the Piscataqua.
Yes, please.
Yes. So their interpretation of a regular Benedict is the English muffin topped with the Canadian bacon and the poached egg and hollandaise sauce.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Then we've got the Piscataqua, which is actually sautéed lobster meat and fresh dill hollandaise.
Ooh.
And then the Mignon is a... Benedict with char grilled filet mignon and fresh Bernaise.
Ooh.
So, you know, and then they've got a vegetarian Benedict with poached fresh spinach, artichoke bottoms, and fresh hollandaise. So, and then they've got all the traditional, they've got scrambled eggs of various, you know, various concoctions, French toast. And then they've got a this and that portion of their menu.
This and that.
A this and
like
that.
We ran out of creativity.
Which is basically short rib hash and eggs, you know, short double rich. Wide bacon and eggs.
Bacon and chocolate.
Yeah, farmland double wide bacon paired with two eggs. And double wide.
That sounds like kind of
like
redneck.
My butt is going to be after eating all this bacon. So that's I think that we're both looking forward to breakfast soon.
Yeah,
at the River House or brunch.
Brunch
Sunday brunch. Yeah. There's probably Bellinis to be had as well.
Yeah, I like brunch because it's an excuse to have Bellinis during the day.
During the day.
Yeah.
Right, as opposed to my post noon Bellini.
Yeah.
Pre-yoga pose lunch.
Pre-yoga pose. Well.
It's been another Every Other Wednesday with Rachel Forrest and Allie Goodwin on Wine Me, Dine Me.
Now, the Every Other Wednesday on the 28th will be all about Restaurant Week, and it's our pledge drive. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And Restaurant Week, you really should listen. I'm excited at the chefs and the to see who's going to be in it and what they're... I always like to see the menus. I like to see people...
When they get the menus up online at theportsmithchamber.org, you will see some great, great menus. And, you know, choose wisely because you are not going to... I'm looking for my reading glasses. You are not going to... you're only going to be able to do, you know, some of them, obviously, if they're 32 restaurants. So, and also, there will be participating restaurants displaying the New Hampshire Fresh and Local Seafood logo.
Oh, great.
Which guarantees that diners at any seafood is served as local, caught within 15 miles of the seacoast, and served within 40 hours of being caught.
Wow.
48 hours of being caught. So it's www.restaurantweekportsmouth.com. And it's always really wise to make your reservations early.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that New Hampshire fresh local seafood thing is really great.
That's pretty cool, yeah. Actually. And that's, you know, sustainable, you know, fishing and all of that stuff in there. It's a pretty great organization, and it should be well supported, especially here on the seacoast.
Right.
You know, where you're not able to get the mahi-mahi, but maybe a little sea bass.
Sea bass.
Who doesn't love a good sea bass?
Yeah.
Hey, should we point out our new segment idea for our listeners?
Yeah, why don't you describe that? We're going to start that's new.
Yeah, so we would like to put it out to all of our listeners that you have a food question, any food question. It could be, how do I make hollandaise sauce, to that last time you ate at that restaurant, what did you think of this?
Yeah.
Email it to us.
Yeah.
You can email galfoodie@gmail.com. Post it on our Facebook page, Twitter us. If you have my cell phone, if you're lucky enough to have our cell phone numbers, you can call us and ask. What we'd like to do is read them and answer them online.
Yeah.
For everybody's educational
purpose.
On the
air. Right.
On the air. And, we hope that it'll be something that our listeners will want to participate in. And who knows? We all might learn something.
Yeah. The galfoodie@gmail.com.
Galfoodie@gmail.com.
Yeah. We'll use you as the.
That's,
the,
I'll funnel.
And we're both on Facebook. I'm Rachel Forrest, and
you can find
usually
just do a search for Gal Foodie, and the Gal Foodie page will pop right up. You'll find me, Allie Goodwin.
Indeed. And so till the 28th, that'll be us. I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
It's of a pretty female, as you may understand. Her mind being bent for rambling on to some foreign land. She dressed herself in sailor's clothes, or so it does appear. And she hired with the captain to serve him for a year. The captain's wife, she been on board, she seemed in great joy to think her husband had engaged such a handsome cabin boy. And now and then she'd slip him a kiss, and she would light a toy. It was the captain found out the secret of the handsome cabin boy. Just like a girl. But eating of the captain's biscuit, her color did destroy. And the wasted swell of pretty Mel, the handsome cabin boy. Did plow a night among the sailors was a fearful flurry and row. They tumbled from their hammocks, for sleep it did us joy, and they swore about the grounding of the handsome cabin boy. Oh, doctor dear, oh, doctor, the cabin boy did cry. My time is come, I am undone, and I should surely die. The doctor come a-running and a-smiling at the fun. To think a sailor lad should have a daughter or a son. They all did stand and stare. The child belonged to none of them, they solemnly did swear. And the captain's wife, she says to him, my dear, I wish you joy, for it's either you or me's betrayed the handsome cabin boy. So each man took his tote of rum, and he drunk success to trade. And likewise to the cabin boy, was neither man nor maid. His hoping wars don't rise again, our sailors to destroy. And is hoping for a jolly lot more like the handsome cabin boy.
WSCA LP Community Radio 106.1 FM, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Thank you.